Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to you. Everybody listening up and down the Central Valley, maybe even at the Central Coast, down in Bakersfield, hopefully, as well. 2 hours of pure high school talk here on the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meaders, here at First String Sports. Yeah, this is going to be a boys basketball heavy edition of the Central Valley Sports Report. We got a really good show lined up for you guys. Coming up after the break, Adrian Wiggins, the head boys basketball coach at Clovis East. They beat Buchanan last night 67-43 to improve to 4-2 in the track. They are 14-10 overall. Adrian was on the show about a month ago before they went to their tournament in Las Vegas. And, it's always good to check in with Adrian. He's an incredible coach, and we know his time at Fresno State leading the women's program to NCAA title berths. And, just an incredible guy, incredible coach. So looking forward to talk to Adrian. And I do want to ask him this question, right? And I'm very curious how he's going to respond to it. How do you beat Clovis North and Clovis West, right? How do you beat those two teams who split their meetings so far? They're both 5-1 on the track. We were able to cover their game last night, won by Clovis West. And Clovis North beat them at home to open up track. Clovis West took care of business on their home court last night. So, you know, their style is a fun style to watch, talking about West and North. So I'm just curious to see, you know, what type of insights Adrian has on how to beat their press and, win those tough games against those tough programs. At the bottom of the hour, I have Emmanuel boys basketball coach Todd Brown coming in here to First String Sports. It's his first year. I think that name might not be too super familiar with everybody out there, but Todd played at Modesto Christian, won a state title there, went to Fresno Pacific. He was an absolute baller there, played a little bit overseas, got his teaching credentials, started at Kingsburg High, led them to their first Central Section title in school history. Yes, you would think Kingsburg would have a few basketball titles throughout their history, but no. Their first one in 2020, and Todd was a coach and stepped down after that season. So you win a Central Section championship, you bring the first one to the community, and he surprisingly stepped down to, we'll get into that a little bit with some of the reasons why. I know he has a young family, and he is an absolute go-getter. I mean, that guy gets after it, and the opportunity was there for him to take over the program at Emmanuel, and he's doing a good job there. The record might not reflect it, but I'm hearing great things about it. And personally, I've had good conversations with Todd. So looking forward to talking to him at the bottom of hour number one. At the top of hour number two, chatting with my guy, Gabe Camarillo, who's producing the show. You know Gabe from Home Field Advantage, 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday. All the good stuff that's going on in the Central Section. We're going to play, an interesting, I don't know, I guess it's a game, right? And I have a list of the student enrollments for every school in the Central Section. First of all, do you guys know how many schools total, including the coast schools, are in the Central Section? Well, yeah, I do. I'm going to give you that information when we talk to Gabe. But there are some schools out there, they're going to be surprised what their enrollment is. You're going to be surprised on both ends. First of all, how big a school is going to be. Like, what? I had no idea that school out there, right, was that big. And some schools are a little bit smaller than I thought. So I'm going to play a little game, like which school do you think is bigger? I think we got about 5 or 6 of those, but I'm also going to list some of the schools that, that might surprise you. And I have a top 6 of the top 6 enrollment schools. So I think you're going to find that really interesting. Well, how's that relevant? Well, it's just fun information. I mean, I like it. So hopefully you guys will like it, but when you compare that to how our playoffs work, right? You're in a base division. You can move up and down one base, for the playoffs, but I mean, school size, right? You talk about school size. That matters. But when you look at some of the schools in relation to what base they are, it's a head scratcher. And I know the base divisions, the schools are in charge of where they want their schools to, where they want their programs to be. I shouldn't say schools, because different programs in different sports can be a different base, which can be a little confusing. But anyway, we're going to roll with that at the top of hour number one. Top of hour number two. Bottom of hour number two. Hoover boys basketball coach Dazelle Archie, you know him. I mean, he's a legend. What an incredible player at the school. played at Pepperdine. It's taken over the program a few years ago. Let's be honest, they ran into some trouble at the beginning of the year. They lost a lot of basketball games, but now that league has started, well, shoot, we're on the stretch run here for league play. But yeah, they've definitely turned around during league play. So always fun to talk about Tazelle. He's got some great stories, and you know, anytime you get an alum of the school that comes back and coaches their program, I always love that because, you know, they got mad love for their alma mater. So looking forward to talking to Tazelle. I want to mention the game last night. Gabe and I are going to be talking about that a little bit more. Clovis West took care of business. Like I said, they beat North 64-51. It was a two-point game at half, 31-29. And the second half, like Clovis West boys usually do, they just ramped it up. Their guard play was phenomenal. Isaac Martinez scored 18 in the game. Second half, he was on fire. Just got any type of shot that he want. And in my opinion, they wore down Clovis North in that one. So both teams are 5-1 heading in the stretch. Most likely, they're gonna try tie for a track championship. So that was a lot of fun to call on 1430 ESPN with Gabe Camarillo. And Nick Anderson was on the call for a little bit as well. If you remember Nick, he was on 1430 ESPN, had his own high school show. He invited me on his show, and his son Cole Anderson is doing great things at UC Santa Barbara. Had 13 points a couple nights ago against University of Hawaii. They're 17-3, and then you know his daughters were on the basketball program for Clovis West as well. So yeah, so that was a lot of fun last night. And speaking of Clovis West, the girls the girls program lost to Clovis. I should actually flip that, right? Clovis beat Clovis West. I mean, what a monumental win for the Cougars and Coach Cooper Steele. It was a 52-51 game at Clovis West on Tuesday. And why is that significant? We got a couple stats for you guys. Well, three main stats stick out on that. It was their first league loss since January 4th, 2019 to Clovis North. It was a streak of 33 games. All right, pretty impressive. I got to give Gabe Camarillo credit on this one. So he discovered that there were 73 straight wins at home. Think about that. 73 straight wins at home. Their last loss was in 2017 on December 2nd to Milwaukee King. And I remember that game. That was a showcase that Coach Campbell put together, and they got beat on their home court. But in between that and the loss to Clovis, there were 73 wins in that. Their last home league loss was in 2012. And, hey, all right, so Clovis West lost, right? It happens. They were 22-0, ranked fourth in the state. Congratulations to Clovis again. Just a great win for the Cougars. They had a free throw that was made with 1.2 seconds left by freshman Sadie Sin. But Clovis West, in these 17 year plus, they've gone 167-5 and 17 league titles. Coach Craig Campbell, 11 straight Central Section titles. Last night they beat Clovis North 80-23. So I think they pretty much took out their frustrations on Clovis North. But what an incredible run that the Clovis West girls basketball team had. I want to mention, too, Coach Wahlberg. Here's another fun fact for you guys. In his seventh year, in his second stint at the school, all this dude does is win. He's incredible, incredible coach. 181-28 is their record. So we mentioned they beat Clovis North 64-51 last night. Yeah, so those two teams are definitely the top tier in the track. I want to mention before we go to break here and bring up Adrian Wiggins, is I have a huge guest next week. I am excited about this. So I usually don't tease guests for the next week, but I have to on this one. So Tom Goodwin is coming on the show. Not only is he coming on the show, but he's coming here live to First String Sports. You guys know Tom Goodwin. His time at Fresno State, All-American, U.S. Olympic team, gold medalist, first-round draft pick, 10-year career in the Major League Baseball, 2018 World Series champ with the Boston Red Sox. He was the first base coach. So Tommy G is coming in the house. I'm going to have that guy for an hour. Oh, I cannot wait. The stories he's going to be able to tell, that guy is a talker. And the stories that he's going to tell and share with you guys, I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great experience for everyone to listen to that. So Tom Goodwin on the show next week. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Clovis East boys basketball coach Adrian Wiggins on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Yeah, try to mix it up a little bit with the music. Yeah, Sturgill right there, man. I love that track. We have Adrian Wiggins, the boys' basketball coach at Clovis East, on the show right now. Hey, Adrian, what's going on? How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. Good.
Did you? Are you stepping out of the gym right now? You're doing your little Wolves camps, or what's going on?
I did. I just escaped for a few minutes. We have 100 kindergarten and first graders in there, so it's nuts.
100 just kindergarten and first grade?
Yeah.
100.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it was 83, but plus my 16 varsity players, so it feels like they're they act like first graders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? That's such a fun age. My gosh, that, you know, even when you get into first and second grade, the game is just so pure to the kids. They just love running around. They could, you know, pick up the ball and not even dribble it, and they're just as happy as it can be. And you know, could probably, you know, when they make a basket, it's like they won the NBA championship, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it's funny you say that, because the truth is that's kind of what coaching is. And it's not just being a coach, but like just a parent, a teacher, an employer, like knowing what fun is at different ages.
And no, absolutely.
Fun for a kid that age, you're exactly right. That's all you need to do. You don't have to tie them to a parachute and get them out there running the route tree and with cones and teaching them the, you know. So it's funny, but like, you know, when you – yeah, you get to know kids, like, you know, it's fun, and you can kind of motivate them, right?
And they probably come dressed with wristbands on and headbands and these fancy shoes, even though they're like 5, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah. Oh, they're all in. It's awesome. You know, there's tears, there's sweat, there's tears. There's going to be some bodies thrown around today. You know, it's awesome. They just get after it, and they compete so hard. And their parents, you know, the parents love it. And I know my kids went through this, too. So it's really a neat program that all the high schools offer. Here in Clovis, and you know, I've always enjoyed it as a parent and as a coach. After your kids grow up, you really appreciate more watching the younger parents and their kids come through and just getting to provide some happiness for them, you know.
No, that's, you hit it. That's 100%. And I remember those days with my three daughters and just the joy. You're right, Saturday mornings during this time were built for that, and that was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, and I know it helps build programs. But last night you guys had a nice win over Buchanan. You had beat them earlier, I think 59-34. So you beat them last night by about the same type of spread. But what was working last night with your team, and what could your team done a little bit better?
Well, we're a young team, so we've really made some strides. I've been proud of them for that. We've won 4 in a row, which was nice. We kind of set a mini goal to do that, and they did. And so that's kind of fun. Really, you know, we're sharing the ball better. You know, we're learning kind of the nuances of our offense better. We're learning how to play faster between the pauses. Like, you know, in basketball, there's all these – you either play very fast or really strong and slow. And we're learning how to play fast when you're supposed to, and that's really helped. So we moved the ball down the court and transitioned fairly well. We then kicked it back out and got some nice looks and shot the ball pretty good. And our defensive rotations were better this time, I thought. So, you know, we didn't – you know, Buchanan scored more this time. But they made shots, you know, they made some shots that were tough shots that they made, and credit to them. But I just felt like our transition offense and our defensive rotation was a little better this time. So I was happy about that.
And you mentioned how your team is really young, and you get three freshmen that are getting regular minutes. And I believe your leading scorer is a freshman. So how are the young guns coming along?
Yeah, great. You know, not too many times in a Clovis and track, you know, you can play a freshman and win a lot. And so it's exciting for us that these freshmen are hanging in there. And, you know, we're 4-2 right now in league. And, I'm happy for them. I really am. It's an exciting future for them. You know, we've got some – our middle schoolers are really good. I think they lost one game between the both of them this year. And so that was exciting. And, you know, so we have full programs. You know, we got some youth coming through here that have some talent, and they're excited about it, good kids. So, no, you know, for me it's fun. You know, we've had some good teams here before, so it's always a fun ride to do that. It's good for our school community. So these freshmen are—they're gonna be something else. They're tough.
Yeah, we're looking forward to definitely talking with Adrian Wiggins. Now, you mentioned, you know, you're 4-2. You have that 4-game winning streak. You started off with the gauntlet, right, against Clovis North and Clovis West. I don't know if I switched that, but I don't know if I got that right, but. You know, yeah. Both of those games, you're going to be playing them this coming week, both at home. You know that style. You're very familiar with the style that they bring. And you mentioned, too, Adrian, how, you know, your team has to really learn when to speed up the game, when to go fast, and then when to kick out, right? So is that a process when you're playing teams like Clovis North and Clovis West? Like, they're trying to speed you up. And, you know, when they went against each other last night, they sped each other up. And there were a few instances where they just kept turning the ball over, right? There'd be a steal and then another steal and then a missed layup. And then, right, so they try to speed you up. So how are you as a coach trying to teach your team to, you know when to go fast with them, know when to slow it up, right? Is that, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, you know, and that it is. They do a good job of that. You know, they play hard, and really that is, you know, they're trying to get you not only to turn the ball over, but to take quick shots, rush shots, hurried shots that aren't necessarily high percentage shots when you really do the math. So they do a great job with that. It's something we're very familiar with. You know, I've been around here now for about 20 years in the Valley, and I kind of started here learning the dribble drive from Vance and a lot of the other coaches that were around here. And so to see their offense and defense, I'm just very familiar with it. We put our kids in a pretty good spot, but at the end of the day, you know, you're right. It's something that you have to get used to. And, you know, when you can learn to get your head up and stay calm and understand what's going on, then all that pressing stuff kind of goes away. You know, if you watch at the end of Selland and the championships at Selland, not so much trapping and pressing as there is just really good, hard defense and real strong hustle. But yeah, early on, you know, as you get teams that kind of maybe aren't used to that, you'll see them come out pretty strong. But it's good for us. I look forward to it. It's good for us. Our kids need it. We played two tough games against them. We came up short, but you know, when I look across and I see our youth, it makes me excited for the future with that, because they're very seasoned, good programs, and you know, and we look forward to hopefully we're, you know, doing what they're doing here soon.
And both those games are at home this week at 5:30, correct?
Yes, they are. 5:30 at Clovis East, so we should have a good crowd.
Great. I do want to ask you about, you mentioned Selland Arena. The court is a little bit bigger, isn't it, than the high school courts?
Yeah, well, you know, so like it's funny you said it. Central's court is an NBA-sized court. You know, it's like 94 feet. The high school court's like 84 feet. So it's a little longer at Central as well. So we play on that long court. And we did the other night at Central, and we really didn't notice. I was really happy about that, because sometimes you can tell that we just, you know, we just can't get down the floor fast enough. But we have some speed right now. Like, we were getting down the floor fine. There's, you know, no issue with that. So, and it's different. You know, they say, it's funny, they say, you know, when you play in an arena or you play at Selland, you know, the shooting and the dimensions and the background and blah, blah, you know, I think it is what you make it. You know, we've gone in there and played well in the past. So hopefully we get back in there again one day.
When you play at Central, do you tell that to the players, or you let them figure that out?
Yeah, you know what we do with this group. I did. I found with this group, they're so young that we really have to prepare them for everything. I'm like, hey, there's a yellow bus going to come and pick you up. no, I don't get that. I don't get that specific. But the reality is, like, yeah, I just, you know, that these guys, I mean, they're just new. And so we came out at the beginning of year one, and they warmed up in the wrong end. Like, I was like, guys, this is halftime. We switch ends. Like, come on, you're joking me, right? So that's when I realized, like, oh, boy, you know, sometimes you rely on your leadership. But we have a lot of new players. Like, we have a lot of players that have come through our program that went through the freshman, the JV, and now they're finally senior varsity basketball players. And that's a huge compliment to them. But they haven't, you know, they haven't been in a position to lead yet. So our coaches, we just kind of took the job of saying, hey, we'll do it. We'll take the pressure off you, and we'll kind of lead you in that way. And it's been great for our seniors. They've responded really well, and you've seen them now step up and kind of take over some of those roles.
Well, in the next couple of years, those freshmen and sophomores are getting playing time. They're the ones that are going to have to tell their guys, hey, guys, this court's a little bit longer. You're going to leave all that to them. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I want to ask you, too, you know, we love to talk about basketball up and down the central section, but I know you're in the track, the top league in the Valley, but how much attention do you play, do you turn to other leagues or other areas? Like, obviously you're keeping an eye on Bakersfield, right? Because you might be playing some of those teams in the future, but like the coast schools and, you know, even some of the rural schools, how much attention do you give those programs?
For sure. You know, we scrimmaged at Stockdale to start the year. We went to a tournament in Rio Grande. So we've played teams from those areas. Very familiar with Centennial and Stockdale and Bakersfield Christian and, you know, the coastal teams, Rio Grande and, you know, St. Joe's and all that. So, I mean, we play each other. You know, it's really the year-round sport in this area. You know, now we encourage our kids to play all kinds of sports. But if you're not, we definitely have something for you, right? So So we're playing summer basketball over at the coast. You know, we're playing, going to tournaments in Bakersfield or up in Madera or Modesto or whatever. So we get very familiar with everyone, to be honest. It's fun because you get to know the coaches and the teams, and it's competitive, but there's nothing like, you know, our track games. They're just the best, you know. And our little hoopster parents today, I started off by asking them who went to Buchanan, and they're like, you know, a bunch of parents raised their hands, like, oh, we beat you last night, you know. So they all yell, you know. And so it's super, it's fun. It's so competitive in Clovis, and if you grow up with kids, you know, like you have, you know, it's just, it's fun to have that competition in your kids to learn how to just be good sports and compete and handle winning and losing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Adrian, always fun to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time. I had this open slot. It texted you like at 10:30, and you was like, yeah, I'm all in, Paul, so I really appreciate you.
Oh, man, now you're sending me back to Little Hoosiers. Oh, man.
Well, kindergartners and first graders are going to run and jump on your back? What? You don't love that stuff?
I know, right? Yeah, I'm definitely going to get trampled when I get back in here.
That's awesome. All right, Adrian, good luck. You're playing Clovis North Tuesday at 5:30, and then Friday you're playing Clovis West. Good luck.
You got it. Thanks, Paul. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Adrian Wiggins, head basketball coach at Clovis East. Great guy. Got that Central Section Division I championship a few years ago with that really good squad, beat Bullard. So always a good time when I talk to Adrian. Coming up after the break, talking with Todd Brown, head boys basketball coach at Emmanuel High School, the first-year head coach. He's here at First String Sports. Really, really looking forward to talking to Todd. Coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
March Madness on locally owned 1430 ESPN. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Like I told you guys, mixing it up a little bit. Gabe Camarillo back at home base producing the show. A little Daft Punk right there, man. That was a cool intro. I think we're going to have to keep that one, Gabe. We have Todd Brown. He's the head boys basketball coach at Emmanuel High School. Fresno Pacific University. Got to get that university right, because when I went there, it was a college deal. So they want university status on me. All right. In my heart, it's always FPC. Played overseas a little bit after having a stellar career as a Sunbird. He's a head boys basketball coach at Kingsburg previously, guided the Vikings to their first Central Section title. What was it, since 1956 or no, wait, was that right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Since 1956 in 2020. Stepped away for a couple years. We'll get into that. And first-year head coach, like I said, Emmanuel. And, Todd, you came in, all right, you're all Emmanueled out. You got your gear on. You handed me my alumni shirt that I've been waiting, what, 2.5 months to get this thing.
Yeah.
So I finally got my alumni shirt. I got to play in the alumni game that you did a fantastic job on. So, yeah, so I'm definitely going to be putting this bad boy on. So thanks for that.
Yep, no problem.
All right. So this morning, right, I think you heard a little bit with Adrian Wiggins, you know, Clovis with their little hoopsters. You guys got a program like that going on at Emmanuel? Were you doing that this morning?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We got, you know, Coach LeBeau and I are down there running the little hoopsters down there, and you know, it's a great way to get kids excited. And so we got about 200 kids K-8 down there throughout the day, coming in and playing games, getting skills, and having fun with those kids.
Are you calling it little hoopsters? You calling it little eagles? You got a name for that yet, right?
It's just kind of youth league right now. And,
all right,
and then we'll square it. Right. Both of us year one trying to figure things out. So we got the kids there. We're playing ball.
As far as like agendas as a first year head coach at a big program, naming your Saturday program is probably like 1,278 on the list. So, all right, we'll work on that together, Todd.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so last night, you know, I checked Twitter and I checked all the scores, and, you know, I saw, what was it, 90? You lost to Selma last night, 94-88.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, it's got to be one overtime or two overtime, because that's a lot of points in a 32-minute stretch. So, right, I mean, you're shaking your head because obviously a loss hurts, a lot of points. But describe last night's game, because it's a really good Selma team.
Yeah, yeah, good Selma team. They always have a couple guys that can really put the ball in the hole. And they're pressing, making it up. A fast-paced game the whole night, and we were able to break that. So we were able to score a lot of points. If you told me we were scoring 88 points, I'm thinking there's no way we're not winning that game. But they did a great job. They shot a high percentage, and we didn't stop them when we needed to. And so you really got to bring it every night in our league, because it's you got to play well to win. So
and we give a lot of love to the track and CMAC and the schools around here. And that's one of the reasons why I want to ask Adrian Wiggins that question about how much do you keep, you know, tabs on the Valley, up and down the Valley. But, you know, the league that you guys are playing in, it's no joke, right? Like, it's really, really good basketball. Sierra Pacific, Hanford West, Kingsburg, that's in your little division of the league, right? And I know there's a different division, but basketball is no joke, is it?
No. Each team's got a couple studs that can really do their thing, and a lot of good coaches in the league. And so, yeah, you like I said, if you don't bring it, if you don't prepare well, or if the guys don't come with the right intensity, like it's really hard to win. So we're learning through that and trying to battle every night.
So tell me a little bit more about your team, right? Are you senior heavy? You got some young guys that come in. Tell me a little about the personnel of your program.
Yeah, we got, first of all, just really good kids. Like, to come in with the hand that I was dealt as far as just character and just fun kids to be around, like, it's amazing. Like, that does not happen for first-year coaches all the time. And so that's been a blessing. We have a couple seniors that start, and then we got some key pieces that are juniors. We got a sophomore that plays a lot. My two juniors that start, they combined for 70 last night.
Yeah, wow.
So we got some pretty good pieces. Some seniors that I'll miss, and some good pieces that'll come back next year and stuff. But yeah, we're pretty balanced with the ages and. We got some size, got some guards, and so, yeah.
So who are the two juniors, right? What are their names?
Mika Tolpeznikas. he's been leading us this year. He's scoring around 18 or 19 a game. And then Tad Tibbett put up 42 last night.
Woo!
He was out for about a month with an ankle injury earlier in the season. And he's starting to look back like Tad Tibbett. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I saw those guys, you know, shoot the ball around a little bit at the alumni game, and you could tell when dudes are dudes, right? You just, yeah, they got a little, you know, they got basketball savviness, and I could tell that when they're watching them shoot around a little bit. All right, so Kingsburg High, so you graduate from Fresno Pacific College University. My gosh, I'm going to do that. All right, Fresno Pacific University, you get your teaching credential, you go right into Kingsburg. I think you start coaching freshman basketball right away. Just moved up to ranks to be the varsity coach. What was that process like as far as your coaching career and moving up to varsity and then winning that Valley Championship in 2020? Talk about that process then.
Yeah, I mean, you can play all you want, but coaching's a different deal. And so being able to just coach my team as a freshman coach like that, I learned a lot. You know, the level of play is a lot lower than going from playing professionally to going coaching freshman basketball. It's a big adjustment. But just the aspects of coaching in general, that was good to learn. And then I assisted the late Vince Scheidt for a year or two, and that was a great experience working with varsity, and then took over for him. And then that's the whole new ball game when you run the program. And so just setting that up the way you want it, the expectations, and it takes a little getting used to for the players. And but then once you set those expectations at these little hoopsters, or you know, as they start coming up, that's when it can start to snowball a little bit. And that kind of led into those good teams I had in my last couple of years that were really solid players. They knew what I wanted. They'd been doing that for a while. And it was some fun teams to coach.
Yeah, they were. And then you decided to step away for a few years and then took over the job this year. What went into that, stepping away from coaching for a couple of years, and then what brought you to Emmanuel?
Yeah, you know, I really just – the decisions I make, any decision in life, I'm going off where the Lord's leading me, what he's leading me to do. And just had been praying about it for a long time. I got young kids at home, and I got a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so that a couple years ago, just where the kids are at, stuff going on, I actually had peace to step away. I felt peace to, hey, I think I need to just teach right now. And so that was a super hard decision. The guys coming back, tell them, the guys that are coming back the next year after Valley Championship, that I'm that was not fun. But like I said, I had peace about it. And a couple years off, great time at home, a lot more time, obviously. And then, you know, this opportunity with Emmanuel came around, and prayed about it, talked to my wife about it, and we knew what that entails. Like, you're going back into running a program and the time that it entails. And again, just the Lord gave me peace of, hey, it's time to get back into coaching and work with young men. And switching schools, that's a big deal. Like, that was a hard decision. Love the people at Kingsburg. They've been so good, and it's a great place. But yeah, so back in it, loving it, and just continuing to go as the Lord leads.
And talking with Todd Brown, the head basketball coach at Emmanuel High School. So Todd, you know, I can say this on air, it's my show, right? You and I've had a relationship for the last 4 or 5 years. When you were at Kingsburg, I teach in Traver. Our Traver kids go to Kingsburg, and I could see the amount of time that you put in your program. And so I know, you know, that was hard for you to step away. You know, when you're all in, you're all in. You give 100%. You're able to come on our campus and talk with our kids and get them involved in programs. So I really appreciate that on a personal level. But what were your expectations, right, going into Emmanuel? Right, as far as, well, here you are, you know, your record might not reflect some things that you want, right? But, you know, things are being put in place. Did you have a specific timeline of what you wanted to do with your program? By the end of year one, I wanted this established. Throw out the records, right? By year two, I want this established. By year five, this is what my vision is. Is that how your mind works?
Yeah, it is. At the same time, I'm a pretty optimistic guy, so I always feel like any game we go into, I feel like, hey, we can win this game. You know, I mean, we played Centennial this year.
Yeah.
We played Mission Prep. Like, and I still come into the games like, hey, if we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to win. But also, you know, this is my second time having a year one. And so I know what that means. And so setting baseline expectations, you know, norms around the gym for freshmen, JV, varsity teams that are different possibly than what they had in the past. And so setting those expectations, that's huge for this year. Really working alongside my lower level coaches a lot this year, just to make sure things are set up the way that I see will lead to success.
Can you give me a couple examples of that?
Oh, like, man.
Just a couple. Just like it, being on time.
Yes.
Just the way you present yourselves, the way you dress. I mean, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It can go to the littlest detail. Like when you walk, like, you don't change in the gym. You don't have backpacks laying on the side of the gym. Like, the gym, that's business. Like, we're going to, you know, the next couple hours, like, this is business in here. It needs to be a clean place. We don't want it to be a mess. And when you walk in the gym, your shirt's tucked in. You know, just it's – some people would say, hey, that's not – what does that have to do with basketball? But for me, you know, I tell my guys how you do anything is how you do everything. And so we try to, you know, be sharp with our details, being – communication, eye contact, like, just all those little things. I remember coaching those things at Kingsburg, and it takes time for that to become just, like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And then other things fall into place, and then you can spend more times on the other stuff. But if you don't get that stuff down, I feel like it makes everything else a lot harder. So the kids have taken to it well, but it's still year one. And so, like I said, the hand that I was dealt, talented kids.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that. The record does not reflect. We might be the best 8-15 team in the section.
I'm not arguing that.
Our strength of schedule is pretty tough, and so I feel like we have a lot of talent, and we could still do some things with the season, and the kids are staying with it. So, but yeah, first year you got some extra stuff to do, and so I am realistic with myself, even though I think that we can still do some things. So,
well, that's the competitor in you, right? And so how, speaking of your coaching style and your personality, your expectations, how are you able to balance, or was it difficult for you to balance between what to do on the basketball court and how to act, but yet off the court have a relationship with kids, right? And know that, yeah, I feel like the best coaches are the ones that coach their kids up hard, but after practice, the kids know that the only reason why coach is getting on me because he wants me to be a better player and a better person, right? Was that a process for you as a coach to try to balance those two?
Yeah, you definitely have to balance that stuff. You could be way too far on the relationship side where it's
all knuckles, right?
All love, it's all sugar. And then you could be too far on the other side where it's overly truth, overly salty, overly. And so we try to get that balance of sugar and salt and truth and love. And I'm a relational guy. I love building relationships with you, with players, with other coaches. Like that's part of the fun of life. And I know my players know I care about them and love them. And but they also know, like, hey, this is business. This is what we got to do. So. And sometimes that balance gets out of whack, and whether that means me apologizing to them or whether that means me getting harder on them, but that we try to stay as close to that balance as possible.
And you're on campus, you're teaching on campus, so you're seeing these kids all day, every day.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And that's huge, and that's great. And I'm enjoying that as well.
And now that you are on the Emmanuel side, you've been, you went to Modesto Christian too, so you know what that program was like. Play at Fresno Pacific, coach at Kingsburg. Now you're at Emmanuel. What is the difference? How should I phrase this? Like, let's just say private schools, right? There's a different view of what people think about private schools, right? Public schools and private schools, right? There's a lot of public schools that hate private schools out there because they steal their athletes, so to speak, in a sense that, man, you got kids from all different areas, right, to go to a private school. And you're like, of course you're going to hate that school. But now that you've kind of seen both sides, right, are there some fallacies out there, right, that, false ideas that people have about Christian schools that you think, or private schools?
I really think it just comes down to the leadership at that school and the coach. I mean, you could have a public school that's doing the wrong thing. You could have a private school that's doing the wrong thing. You could have a public or private school that's doing the right things. And it probably helped me, coming from Modesto Christian, to understand, even when I was at Kingsburg, like, we had some Kingsburg kids that were talented that they ended up going to Emmanuel. And, you can say whatever you want. Oh, they came and talked to them. But at the end of the day, kids and parents are going to go to where they feel their son or daughter is going to excel. At Modesto Christian, at that point, the public schools were not that strong around the area. And so if a kid wanted to play at the next level, you got to go to Modesto Christian. That was the view. And so public schools did not like that. Their best players that they've known since they were little, all of a sudden are jumping ship to go to Modesto Christian. But, I know that my coaches and I are going to do things the right way and with integrity. And so, I feel like I have good relationships with coaches around the area.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that they would know that at all times. But at the end of the day, if we're doing what we know is right, if there is some negativity out there, it's never fun to hear that. But, we're going to keep coaching up the kids and doing that.
So. And I know you're doing it right. And from the people that I've talked to, you're very well respected, and coaches see what you're doing and coaching the team up right. And I did notice, I went to your one game against Buchanan. We're going to be there for the Kingsburg game. We'll get into that in a minute. But I noticed, watching you, I'm a big watcher of coaches, and you don't yell at refs either, man. You just kind of let the boys play. Maybe that was your first game, just kind of getting used to some things. But, man, I was impressed. You're like, you're just coaching your boys up.
No, maybe you need to come to some more games.
All right.
I know that the refs are humans, and they're doing the best they can, and I will get on them. That might have been an anomaly, but I'll get on them some. But at the end of the day, especially like the year one stuff you're talking about, like, we have to get better. We have to get better.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the refs are calling, like, and that's one focus. Going to the off season after this, we're gonna live in the weight room, because that's one way to kind of negate any maybe negative refing.
Sure.
Get strong, and so I try not to focus on them too much. Sometimes maybe I do more than I should, but try to focus on the players. Yeah.
What's the most memorable game you've ever played in or coached in? You mentioned the championship, state championship of Modesto Christian, and you played overseas, and you had some good games for Fresno Pacific. But man, Valley Championship too, right?
Yeah, like, I think coaching, you got to say Selland and a Valley Championship, like, win. Like, that was special, being with those kids for how long I'd coached them. And I won't forget that. I won't forget those players. I won't forget those plays from that game. Like, that was pretty fun.
Did you have a kid hit a half-court shot at the end of a
quarter, yeah. so just stuff like that. Like, that's pretty memorable. And I know I'm – I mean, there's so many games that have gone on playing and coaching, but playing, man, we played San Joaquin Memorial every year, and I was the same year as Poindexter and the Lopez twins, and so we battled them every year. And my senior year, all of our senior years, like, that was pretty memorable. Just the careers those guys have had, you know, to be able to name drop those guys and say, yeah, we played against those, yeah. And senior year we got them, you know. So yeah. that was a pretty fun game down here. My claim to fame, Brooke Lopez broke my nose that game, so that's my claim to fame. So. Yeah.
And you kept playing, or they had to take you out?
Yeah, it took me out for a little bit. It came back in,
the blood.
Finished it off. But, yeah, it was a fun game. I won't forget that game for sure.
Did he get you with an elbow or what?
Yeah, I mean, that's my face at his elbow level. So.
Would Brooke and Robin Lopez know who you are if you walk by them?
I don't know. They've seen a lot of people since me. So.
Yeah, I know. Huh?
I don't know.
So who are your favorite NBA players? Growing up, or who are your guys right now?
I you know, hopefully this will prove this, but I've always been a Warriors fan. And to prove that, you know, I grew up, my dad was big Run TMC.
Yeah.
And so Chris Mullin, you know, just a bigger guard that can do everything and pass and shoot. I really took to him. And then through the not-so-good Warriors days, I've been a Duke basketball fan as well. So Mike Dunleavy Jr., when he was coming through, just – kind of guys that I feel like I try to model my game after, of inside out, and, you know, be able to do a little bit of everything. I enjoyed those guys, among others, but those are a couple that stand out a little bit, I guess, just with my Warriors and whatnot. So,
how about Steph, Draymond, Clay, out of those guys, like,
yeah,
I mean, I love all, I mean, Draymond's Draymond, right? But yeah. I mean, Steph's my all time favorite.
Yeah, I mean, he's so fun to watch. Yeah, him and Clay just shooting, and their ability to shoot the basketball, it's hard not to like those guys.
I mean, I love their movement off the ball just as much mm-hmm. as them shooting the rock. Mm-hmm. Just the way they position themselves, come off screens, slip screens, all that stuff. It's almost a work of art.
It's great movement because a lot of the NBA can be kind of stagnant and ball screen and one-on-one. And, you know, how many passes they get and assists, it is really fun to watch for basketball junkies. So.
So how long, really quick, we only got a couple minutes, Todd, talking with Todd Brown, the head boys basketball coach, Eddie Manuel. What, you know, do you mix it up with your players right now? Like, can you still show them what's up? Or is that like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a
couple times you got to show them what to do on the court?
Yeah, I think that's an advantage to be able to tell them what to do, but also show them what to do. You know, keep them in check a little bit if they start getting – You know, Tad scored 42 last night, so I might have to, like, make sure he's, you know, I might have to humble him a little bit on Monday. We'll see.
All right,
no.
All right.
but I also have, like, great assistants that still play and stuff. Phil Randall's from around the area. He's helping us out over there. My good friend Greg Jackson, and my lower-level coaches still play a little bit. So it's hard to watch when you're playing with them too much. But, yeah, off-season, open gyms, yeah, I still love to play ball, run.
Well, do it, man. Do it as long as your body is able to let you. All right, last question here, Todd. So, Tuesday, going back to Kingsburg. Emmanuel at Kingsburg. It's the game that we're going to be doing on 1430 ESPN. Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be on the call. You know, you played them once already at your place, and the gym was rocking. You guys came out with a win. What do you think your emotions are going to be, right, coming out with Emmanuel and just seeing familiar faces? I'm sure you've seen them around town, but – Yeah, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for being out there. That's gonna be awesome having you guys out there. There's gonna be emotions for sure. You spend so many hours in a gym, whether it's as a player or a coach, like, and then you go back there with a different color on, it's gonna feel funny. I know. I've been in the gym a couple times since I taken this job, so that maybe that eased me into it. But it's kind of like as a player too. Like, you get nervous for a game, or you have feelings about a game, and once the ball gets tipped off, like, you play. And as a coach now, you coach. And so there will definitely be feelings, and seeing a lot of admin and fans and parents and stuff. Like, I saw a lot of them when they came to Emmanuel, and it was positive. They're great people over there. And so it'll be fun. It'll be, you know, bring back memories. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about the guys in our locker room, and hey, we got a tough. They beat Sierra Pacific last night.
Yeah, they did. I saw that.
We gotta bring it, and so It'll be fun.
All right. Really looking forward to it. Todd, thank you for driving up here, hanging out with me at First String Sports. I appreciate you greatly. And, hey, finally got my shirt, man. That's going to be my shirt for the weekend. So, thanks. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Coming up after the break, we'll talk with Gabe Camarillo about basketball, a little more basketball, size of schools, all kinds of fun stuff here on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
What a great interview we just had with Todd Brown, Manual Boys basketball coach. Yeah, I wish I had a lot more time to talk to Todd. There's a lot of questions that I still wanted to ask him. I mean, I talk about, you know, the glory days a lot on this show, and, you know, I'm very romantic about high school sports. Just have a lot of great memories myself, and you know, I know that Todd is definitely moving the basketball program. I'm not going to say in the right direction, because that the Manual basketball program has been going in the right direction for a lot of years. So that alumni shirt that he gave me, I'm looking at it right now. So on the front it says "We are Emmanuel," and then the back it lists every Valley championship, Central Section championship in school history, and there's 20. There's 20 years on the back of this shirt, starting in 1957. And you got 74, 75, and then 2000s. I mean, the program was just incredible. 2001, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 Central Section championships. So the tradition is rich at Emmanuel High School. And if you haven't been there, you know, they have a new gym that was built in the early 90s. But on the side, the gym that I played in, and you know, it's called the old gym now, and it just had so much personality. Just think Hoosiers, right, where you know, some of the fans are sitting in balconies, and that's what it was. The balcony was right over the bench. So literally during timeouts, you would see these old Mennonite guys that would be looking down, peering down at our huddles and watching the coaches coach. It was just an amazing time. And Coach Brown, you know, talk about those attention to details that takes a program to the next level. And so he's implementing that at Emmanuel High School. So really good conversation. If you want to go back and listen to any conversations that you might have missed, you just go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcasts, go to Central Valley Sports Report. You can listen to any back episodes. You can listen to Gabe Camarillo, we're going to bring on here in a second, Home Field Advantage. You can listen to Jose Gonzalez show. He has his program from 7 to 10 in the morning. Obviously, the Tony D Bulldog Hour. Go to that website, and you can download any episode. So, anyway, Gabe, I mean, what are some of your takeaways from listening to Coach Brown? And, you know, you and I see a lot of high-level programs. And, you know, think about Coach Wahlberg, Coach Admonson, you know, both of them. And just the attention to details as far as coaching goes and the eye contact in huddles and listening and all that stuff. I mean, next-level coaching is a big deal. And you know, and it's clearly evident what's going on at Emmanuel.
I'm a big fan of his forthright style of speaking. I mean, he addressed straight up, you know, that public school coaches sometimes get mad at schools like Emmanuel because of the private school stigma. I think private schools have had a very successful year overall across all sports. Central Valley Christian football had a fantastic year. San Joaquin Memorial football had a good year. St. Joseph down in Santa Maria is having a fantastic season in boys basketball, and they won their league in football. So private schools are always going to be a source of controversy, right? Because everyone thinks, oh, they're taking our kids from our public schools. Todd Brown said it perfectly, right? Parents want to do what's best for their children. If those parents think, I'm going to send my child to a private school because that's the best place for them to succeed, let them make that decision. But I noticed that we're seeing more and more private schools be at the top of these divisions. And I have no doubt that Emmanuel boys basketball is going to be a contender in a few seasons, just like Todd Brown did at Kingsburg. He's going to do to Emmanuel, but I like how forthright he was in saying, you know, I know people are upset. There's always the negativity around private schools, but it's just up to the parents on what they think's best for the kid.
No, absolutely agree. And just in comparison, it's nothing like it is in SoCal. It's nothing like the Sierra Canyons where they build super teams. I mean, we have private schools here in the Central Valley, but is nothing as far as, you know, the building super teams and getting the best players at schools like it is in SoCal, a little bit in North Cal. So, yeah, Gabe, I want to, speaking of private and public schools, man, we got one of the best public school leagues in the state, if not the best in the track. And last night we were privileged to watch Clovis North and Clovis West in their rematch. We know Clovis North won the first one 68-66. I thought that Clovis West had a lot of advantages coming into last night's game. It's a home game. They had a lot of turnovers and missed layups in that first loss. It was a 31-29 game at half, but I thought Clovis West was definitely the aggressor in the second half and took over.
Yeah, that home court advantage definitely helped for Clovis West because, as I mentioned on the broadcast last night, the crowd really had an impact in that second half. I felt like there was a lot of momentum going Clovis West's favor. I believe it was tied 35-35 at one point in the second half, and then Clovis West went on a 10-0 run that was almost entirely Isaac Martinez's doing. I mean, he had, I believe, 18 points all in the second half, a big performance from Isaac Martinez in a big game. That's your best player. Isaac is a senior. He is experienced. He has stepped up in big games before. We remember what he did against St. Joseph last year. You want that from Isaac Martinez, and he gave you what Clovis West wanted. He got them over the hump. It was really close in that first half, Paul. I think both teams are still very even, but in that second half, we saw a senior stepping up. I know we talked on the broadcast yesterday about Jordan Espinoza maybe being the best player on the court. Isaac Martinez was the best player on the court. Jordan Espinoza had a really good game, but Isaac was the difference maker in why his team won, I believe.
Well, in the second half, he definitely took over. And I'm just amazed at Isaac Martinez and just how savvy he is with the ball. He's not going to wow you with his athleticism. He's only about 6 feet tall, but he just knows how to get to the basket. He contorts his body in a certain way. And, he's just – his ability to get a shot off in tough situations is pretty uncanny.
Absolutely. And Espinoza had himself a game, too. I mean, that first half, he was, like, unstoppable. He was all over the place, rebounding, assisting, scoring. Espinoza controlled the first half. Martinez controlled the second half. I'm pretty sure these teams could face again in the playoffs, and it'll be fun to see that individual battle, Espinoza versus Martinez. Espinoza had a better first game than Martinez. We can agree to that, right, Paul? I think that's why Clovis North won, because Clovis North's star stepped up. Clovis West won this one because Clovis West star stepped up. Isaac Martinez was the guy who made the difference. So I think we're going to see a rubber match. Depends on how the playoff seedings work out. But in the rubber match, the key to that game will be which team star steps up. In high school basketball, it's very different from high school baseball. You know, you can have the best player on the field in baseball, you could still lose. We saw that with Buchanan last year in the playoffs. In football, same thing, right? You saw Brandon Ramirez take over for Memorial, but at the end of the day, they lost to Liberty, which was the better collection of athletes. In basketball, I think it's entirely different. You can have one guy take over in the second half and in the fourth quarter and have that be the difference. Isaac did it last year in the Open. A couple years ago, we saw a couple dudes do it for Memorial. And you just see in history, it takes sometimes just one guy to take you over the hump. I think Isaac can do it for Clovis West. Jordan could do it for Clovis North, but that's not to take away from the other supporting pieces as well, like Jackson Young and Zach Shohan for Clovis West, and McKay Amundson, Jalen Bryant, Lucas Jones, Christian Calvillo for Clovis North.
And wouldn't it be fun to watch these two teams play on a neutral court? And that could happen because right now, the Max Preps rankings, aren't they going to update on Monday? Is that how that works, Gabe?
I'm fresh in them right now. Typically, they update on Saturday. I mean, it could be later today, but I expect Clovis West to be the number one seed in the playoffs. Barring an upset, I know we talked about the track being competitive. This year, I think they should run the table. I know there's been past years where, like that one year, they got upset at Clovis East. That was the year they went to the Open Final. I think, you know, typically anything can happen in the track, but it's a safe bet to say Clovis West is the one seed as a result of this win last night. Clovis North is right there at number two. The biggest controversy in the Max Preps rankings, which will determine the playoff seedings, biggest controversy is obviously St. Joe's, right?
No, I mean, right now they're sitting at a four seed. And in my rankings that I do for SB Live, I have St. Joe's as the number one team overall. Clovis West is now going to move up to number two. But, oh, my gosh, can you imagine St. Joe's as a four seed, and if both teams hold off, talking about Clovis West getting the one, and St. Joe's would have to travel to Clovis West.
Who at Clovis West could guard Tunde or guard the 6'9" Caden Hamilton, who's averaging a double-double a night? Like, St. Joe's has so many matchup problems. Caden Hamilton, 6'9", he's a starting center. They got Julius Price, a freshman, only 6'3", played on Sweden's national team. You got a guy like Luis Marina, three-year starter, who is their second-best player after Tunde. Like, St. Joseph is probably would be the best four seed in the history of the Central Section if they are the four seed. And then they go to Clovis West. And I know Clovis West will have the home court advantage. But right now, I think St. Joseph would upset Clovis West. And the Golden Eagles will not get to go to Celent Arena because of the playoff seedings being a little wacky.
No, it is a little wacky. But, hey, never. We've learned this, Gabriel, the last couple of years. Never, ever count out the heart of Clovis West, man. Coach Wahlberg is 181 and whatever, 28 for a reason. That guy can absolutely coach, and he'll have a game plan if that does happen to shake out. But we had another monumental game, Gabe. On Tuesday, you were able to go to Clovis and Clovis West girls game. I wasn't able to go there. But, man, we knew it was going to be a good game, but I didn't think that Clovis had the horses to beat Clovis West. And you did a good amount of research, Gabe, and I appreciate that, and some of the crazy stats out there about Clovis West's winning streak. But, man, what an incredible game. What a monumental moment for Clovis.
Clovis has been flying by the seat of their pants. They've had so many close finishes. Like, how long can the Magic keep up for this Clovis Cougars team? I remember earlier this month, I believe it was a road game at Lincoln. They won on a buzzer beater from GB Tamadong at Lincoln Stockton. Since then, it seems like every game has been close, but there's also been some dominant performances. So like last night, right, they win by 3 on the road at Central. Very impressive win. They beat Central by 5. Then they have a close game against Buchanan, and then they pull away in the second half. But this Clovis West game in particular, very, very close. And the fact that it was close shows how much Clovis has grown. I talked about this with Cooper Steele earlier this week, who's the head coach of the Cougars girls basketball program. Clovis West has been so dominant that it's forced the other track teams to up their game just to be competitive, right? If every other track team stays complacent with Clovis West being the dominant force, Clovis West would win every game by like 30, 40 points. And the coaches don't want that, right? If you're in the track, you don't want to get embarrassed twice during league play. So that's why you see Buchanan step their game up, and they've had a very good season. Clovis East upset Buchanan last night.
They did,
Clovis
yeah.
East has raised their game as well. Central, I talked about how tough they have been. They just beat Mishinoka a few minutes ago by 20 points. They're dominant. They beat Carruthers, a very good Carruthers team last week. Clovis North, I know that they struggled against Clovis West the other night or last night, but they barely lost to Central by 3, showing that they are not too far behind the rest of the pack. And obviously, Clovis, they are number 2 in the track right now. I know you might have them at number 1 in your SB Live rankings. I think it's fair to say that Clovis West and Clovis are tied, because watching that game, it seems like both teams are even. Clovis has the perimeter shooting. Clovis has some fantastic guard play, and their youth is very, very promising. If you're a Clovis fan, watching Sadie Sin hit the game-winning free throw, watching Yasmin Aguilera hit the important three-pointer to go ahead, those are freshmen. So your future is very bright at Clovis High School if you're a girls basketball fan, and it looked like Clovis West and Clovis were even. There wasn't any controversial calls. I didn't think Clovis West was playing particularly bad. I think they were just facing against a very good defensive Clovis team. So I think the next game between these two teams will be similarly close. And I think Clovis West is going to be on the revenge tour. It started last night when I saw they were up like 61-10 at halftime or something. It was ridiculous, right? Clovis West, they're upset because they lost. They're going to give it 110% the rest of the way because all those streaks were snapped. I have no doubt that Craig Campbell has his girls ready to go for, what would it be, their 11th straight Central Section Championship or a 12th? I mean, I'm losing track at this point. But they're going to have a tough test again at Clovis High School on February 10th. I don't think this is a game that Clovis West will romp over Clovis. It'll be another close one, but I do think Clovis West could run the table the rest of the way and hold on to the number one seed. Not to take away from Clovis, but I do think that Clovis West is going to be a big bounce back candidate, and they needed this loss. I think some championship contenders need a loss in order to reorient themselves and reevaluate themselves, right? You need a gut check sometimes. Once you're too dominant, you kind of get complacent. Not saying that was Clovis West's situation, but it's always good to get a wake-up call and get you ready for the rest of league play. That's what Clovis West received. But Clovis also got a huge boost of confidence, a night they'll never forget, because they beat Clovis West girls basketball, something that no track team could have said in the last 4 years. The last time they beat them was 2019.
Yeah, and hell hath no fury like a Clovis West girls basketball program on the warpath, and I think that might be the case. But February 10th, we're going to find out, Gabe. You know, hey, maybe that's a game that, you know, I know a few people at 1430 ESPN. Maybe we can get that on the schedule. I don't know. Hey, I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun game to look forward to. Gabe, we're going to play a little game ourselves, right? It's a game that's fast sweeping the nation. It's called Do You Know the In Total Enrollment of Central Section High Schools. All right, so I found a spreadsheet that lists the total enrollment of schools, and I think it's just a fun reference for people just to understand how big or small schools are. I was surprised by this list. We talk about rankings and divisions and who should be in what, but I'm just going to throw out a couple things that I think, a couple fun facts that I think people are going to be interested in. Then you're going to have a discussion, which school do we think is bigger? I obviously have the information, but I'm going to test your knowledge on this. The top school in the Central Section as far as enrollment is Central High. I think everybody could have predicted that. Over 4,489.
Even with Garza included?
Like, no, Garza's at leave, so I think that's part of Garza. So this was a couple years ago.
Okay.
All right. So the number two school, Sanger High, 3,579 students.
And Sanger West. Third biggest. Sanger West was after that came out?
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yep. Sunnyside, third, 3,192. That's a base Division III school in football. They have over 3,000 kids. Four, Santa Maria, a little bit of a surprise on the coast, a little over 3,000. Number five, this one shocked me. I bet people could have never predicted this, but Pioneer Valley in Santa Maria on the coast, 3,156. And, Gabe, weren't they just in Division 5 and Division 6 football? They have over 3,000 kids. That's crazy.
Here's the thing, right? How many of those kids actually play sports, though? That's my argument here. How many kids of those play sports? We don't know. I mean, Pioneer Valley, if they had all those kids play sports, then they would be like Division 1. But I don't know what the ratio is of athletes to regular students there.
But anyway, that's just a huge number. And then Bakersfield, the original Driller, six, a little over 3,000. All right, a couple surprises before we get into which school is bigger. Arvin, 2,893 students. Avenel, actually, I thought this one was a little bit bigger. Avenel is 762. I thought it only had about 200 kids. Menachie, we mentioned them. They have over 2,163. Exeter's a little bit smaller than I thought. I thought Exeter was about 1,300, 1,500 kids. They are at 864. Kingsburg, just talked to Todd Brown, who coached there. He's going to be Emmanuel Eagles are going to be playing at Kingsburg. Hey, these guys are playing in Division II football playoffs with 1,147 kids at their high school. And Layton is a little bit smaller than I thought. Layton only has 140, so that's about 35 per class. And then Golden Valley, one of the newer schools down south, 2,751. Does anything stand out to you on that one?
Like I said, like the small schools, I think they have big enrollments because there's no other school like for 40 miles for some of those schools, right? Arvin, what's the next closest school to that? I think that's why you see these big enrollments. But like I said, I think it's kind of like it can be misleading to see those big enrollment numbers and question, why are they in this division? Sometimes it's very accurate, right? Sometimes you're like, well, why is Carruthers at 800, but they're in Division 1? For those kind of school situations, I absolutely agree that they are mislabeled. But for like a Pioneer Valley, if you put them in D4, just because of their size, they're not going to win. They're just not going to win. And I guess that's why they changed it from enrollment sizes to now what we have base divisions based off of on-the-field results, which I like the idea of doing that more than doing enrollment sizes, because if you do it strictly off of enrollment sizes, a school like San Joaquin Memorial, who is, what, like 500 students, they'd be competing in Division 4, and they'd be winning state championships.
Yeah,
so I think enrollment sizes, when it was used as division placement, it was flawed. And we're seeing why. Because Pioneer Valley, if you put them in Division 3, they're going to get slaughtered. I mean, no offense to Pioneer Valley. I hope no Pioneer Valley fans are listening. But, you know,
I do know really quick. So a familiar name in the Central Valley is the athletic director at Pioneer Valley, Anthony Morales, who is the athletic director at Clovis East. He is now at the coast. So I know he's well connected. He's actually sent me a couple private messages. I know he's going to do great thing in the next couple years.
He will do good. But I mean, they know, right? And that's the same thing about Carruthers, right? Carruthers knows, like, in Division 1, it's tough to beat Clovis West. It's tough to beat Clovis. These are some of the best schools, not just in the state, but in the country in girls basketball. So, like, everyone knows where they belong. And that's why we have such a problem with the playoff system is everyone knows where each school belongs, but Max Preps is telling us where they where they're going to be, and we know that's not where they belong. So, like, for Pioneer Valley, they could have maybe the third highest enrollment in the section, but in reality, they probably are more in line with a D5, D6 school based off of the on-the-field performance. Once they start playing better, like in football or in baseball or basketball, then we're going to see them in a higher division. But their boys' basketball team was 1-21. I didn't see how much they lost to St. Joseph by last night, but you know, I think
it was like 114-40.
Yeah, exactly. See, like Pioneer Valley, that's misleading. Is that a school that you think has the third highest enrollment in the central section? A school that loses 114-40?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Really quick, a couple of references to the highest school, as you mentioned, as far as private schools in the central section. Actually, I'm going to say the Valley is San Joaquin Memorial, like you mentioned, Gabe. They're at 567. The two lowest, Emmanuel. Actually, Emmanuel's at 230. They are the lowest. Fresno Christian's at 279. Another one for reference. So you think about the Clovis schools and how even they are as far as enrollment goes. Clovis is number one. 2,928. Clovis East is second, 2,733. Buchanan, 2,685. Again, this is based on enrollment 2021 and 2022. Clovis North at 2,442. And Clovis West High School, 2,096. All right, Gabe, so I'm going to throw out a couple schools. And I'm going to ask you which school has the higher enrollment, right? All right, so let's start off with Dinuba or Clovis West. Which school has the higher enrollment?
Dinuba. I know all these questions are going to have like trick answers. So I'm
They're not. No, they're not. I threw in a couple curveballs. I'm not making this too easy for you. All right. You say Dinuba over Clovis West.
I'm guessing Dinuba over Clovis West. These are going to be all like right. curveball questions. I know.
Of course. I'm not going to throw you softballs, right? All right. So Carruthers, 2,100.
Wait, so was Dinuba?
Sorry. Dinuba. Dinuba, 2,171. Clovis West, 2,096. All right. So you're right. All right. Carruthers or Chowchilla?
Okay, that one's tougher. I'm going to say Chowchilla.
You are at Chowchilla, 1,090 compared to Carruthers, 672. So
just so people know, I'm not looking at enrollments right now. I'm literally just looking at nothing. So
no, you're not cheating. All right, so Madera or Madera South?
Madera still, I think. Even though Madera South has definitely bit into that apple, I think Madera is still the higher enrolled school.
Do you have a sad trombone?
Oh, dang it. I was hoping to go 5-0.
All right. No, Madera has 2,113. Madera South, 2,538.
What?
Yeah. Look at that. Madera South's bigger by about
400. I wonder how Torres is going to factor into that whole pie in Madera.
Yeah, good question. Good question. All right. So let's go. You're going to like this one. We're going a little bit South Valley, a little east as well. Reedley or Redwood?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to say Redwood has more enrollment. They are a huge school in Visalia. I've driven by there multiple times.
All right, ding, ding, ding. Actually, by more than you would think, it's almost 1,000 more. Reedley has a little bit less than I thought. Reedley's at 1,773. Redwood's at 2,661. So Redwood is actually about the same amount as the Clovis schools. But, yeah, I thought Reedley would have well over 2,000.
Redwood's going to have such a good baseball season. Like, I can't wait to get to baseball season because we're going to talk a lot about the Rangers pitchers. And I know their football team just won a league championship. They were in Division I. So no surprise to see Redwood is so heavy with athletes. That's the thing, right? They are a high-enrolled school, but they have a lot of athletes and a lot of guys that play multiple sports. I love what they're doing over there at Redwood High School in Visalia.
Again, so this is school enrollments from 2021 to 22, and Matilda Torres is listed at 1,510. So that's a huge number already for being a newer school.
Yep.
All right, couple more here, Gabe. Roosevelt or Bullard?
I'm going to say I'm looking right at Bullard High School since it's across the street from our studios. I'm going to say looking at this school, it's pretty big. I've driven by Roosevelt. I live by Roosevelt. I'm going to say Roosevelt has more students. Dang it. I guess at curveball questions, I think you're tricking me here. So I'm going with the path less traveled. The answer you don't expect to give, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get with
this. I overthought
myself. So it's Bullard. It's Bullard. 2,721 and Roosevelt, 2,485.
All right. Not too far off.
No, not too far. I should have found one that only has like two or three differences. But all right, last one, Gabe. We're going rural on this one. Fowler or Selma?
That one is tough. Like I said, those rural schools, they're like the only ones in like a radius, like a 20-mile radius, like the only schools there. Selma or Fowler? I'm going to go with Fowler's having more students. Am I right?
Nope. That's a little. That's a one that I was surprised with. Selma, 1,806, and Fowler only 828. So about 1,000 difference.
You know the South Valley more than I do. You know the South Valley more than I do. How close is Selma to like Emmanuel, Kingsburg, Reedley, all those South Valley? Because I thought Fowler was kind of like further away from that, so I thought they would have a higher enrollment.
Oh, as far
pool.
As proximity?
Yeah, proximity.
Yeah. Okay, so I pass by Fowler and Selma every day for the last 26 years driving. So, yeah, so it goes Fowler first if you're driving south off right off the freeway, and then Selma. Fowler, I think, has about 8,000. I think 8,000 people as far as population. Selma, you know, obviously about double that. But one thing I noticed, I drove through my old town of Dinuba, California a couple weeks ago, and that town has doubled since I was there. There's about 10,000 people there. Dinuba, you know, as you mentioned, more students than Clovis West, is about 22,000 people there in their town. And again, it's only a one school town right now, one town school. So, you know, I think it's going to change in a little bit. But, yeah, lots of surprises there, Gabe. I got another fun fact because I'm all about fun facts. We're going to bring in Tazelle Archie in just a second here. But Baker, California, did you know that Baker is in the central section?
Yeah, right? Along with, like, Lone Pine and Fraser Mountain and Table
Trona
Mountain and everything else.
Yeah, so I got the list of all the schools in the central section. So fun facts about Baker, right, on the way to Las Vegas, obviously. But they are famous for having the world's tallest thermometer. Did you know that? Fun fact. They had that built a while ago. They shut it down for a few years because it was costing $8,000 a month just in the electric bill to light that thing up. The world's largest thermometer in the central section is in Baker, California. And they also have alien fresh jerky. You see those signs driving to Vegas. You're like, what in the world is alien fresh jerky? Well, they have it in Baker, California.
I had no idea about that before this conversation. And like I always tell everyone else, where else could you find such interesting information and fun facts other than the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters?
Well, that's what I'm all about here. I'm here to entertain for the people. I'm here for the people. All right, thanks, Gabe. Good job by you, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, wait, do I get double points for guessing correctly that Dinuba had a higher enrollment than Clovis West? Because I'm pretty sure like 90% of people would guess Clovis West had more people.
All right, so you missed Madera South. You got Redwood right. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll give you 5 points on that one.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, Hoover Boys basketball coach Tazelle Archie and Jeremiah Rodriguez on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Here at First String Sports, they've been my day one sponsors, man, since I got the show a year and a half ago here in Blackstone and Herndon Avenues. Do my show in the Letterman's Jacket Room, man. This is definitely a place to be. This is just, to me, it's nostalgia, right? Looking at Letterman's Jackets from Buchanan and Clovis North. Redwood, who we just talked about, Kerman, Selma. I mean, it's all here, across the way, patches, right, from each school, the logos. First String Sports is awesome. Make sure you guys come down here. I mean, the weather's beautiful out there. Weather is beautiful. It's 42 degrees, but, man, it's a nice, crisp air. I want to thank Lee's Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show as well. Tazelle Archie, head boys basketball coach at Hoover, is here with us. Jeremiah Rodriguez, special player we're going to get to know for the next 20 minutes or so as well. He's a junior on the team. First of all, thanks, guys, for taking the time coming from the Hoover gym, Little Pates, right, with all the little guys running around. Thanks for taking the time and come down here at First String.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you. So, Jeremiah, you're coaching the Little Pates, right? That's part of the deal. When you're a varsity player, or maybe, I don't know, your lower levels do it too, T?
It's mainly varsity, but we have some of the freshmen and the JVs help out a little bit.
So that's one of the really neat things about the programs in the Central Valley is the Saturday morning programs. But you're coaching the little guys, the kindergartners and the first grade.
Kindergartners, yeah.
What do you love about those kids, man? You just love seeing their bright, shiny faces in the morning?
Yeah, I love just seeing them do the drills and everything. Just shows how much they love it.
What kind of drills do you run with them? Just like the simple things like how to maybe just dribble right in front of them, right?
Yeah, simple things, but sometimes they're doing a little elite stuff sometimes.
Yeah?
Maybe like between the legs stuff sometimes.
So you got some little guys just dribbling up a storm.
Yeah.
When did you first start playing basketball, Jeremiah?
I probably started playing in sixth grade, seventh grade.
So you didn't do any of these Saturday programs with Hoover?
No, I wish I did, though.
So you're kind of a late bloomer, so to speak, came to a little bit, you know, sixth grade. You said you started playing basketball.
Yeah.
And coaches, tell me about your journey already. So you're a junior. You were voted captain of your team before the season started, mm-hmm. right? Played JV last year. Coach said you weren't a blue chipper coming in, but he just praises you for your hard work and your ethics, right? So what does it mean to you to be on the varsity program?
To me, it means to be a leader in the classroom, especially on the court too. It just means to put in hard work every single day, get better, help my teammates out, help my team.
And how is that just something that you've always had inside of you, just a hard work ethic, just getting after it in the classroom and and on the court?
Yeah, I said I always had it. I'm not a lazy person, always got to go after it.
Is that true, Coach? You see that? I mean, the work ethic that this kid has, you know, he's not lazy, right? He just gets after it.
He's definitely not lazy. When I first took notice of him was the COVID year. We were doing a lot of workouts. We couldn't even be indoors, and so we had to be out there on the blacktop. And this youngster just kept showing up every day with the AJ Georges and the Jamar Bowers and Ivy Ruffs and, you know, all those Swillis. And this young kid just kept showing up. I didn't even know who he was. And after, you know, about a week of showing up every day, you know, I kind of asked him who he was and told me about himself. And that type of dedication, you know, when you're talking about being out there on the asphalt during a COVID year, when you have every excuse in the world to stay at home, you know, that's how I took notice of him. And he's just grown into the leader that he is. So he's definitely all business. If you can't tell with his demeanor, he's kind of a no-nonsense. He'll crack some jokes here and there. But, you know, he's here to work. He's here to work.
And you were voted captain, like I mentioned, as a junior with no varsity experience. What did that mean to you when the guys voted you and saw that work ethic that you instill, right? Hmm. What did that mean to you as a person?
It meant a lot. It just meant my hard work was paying off. Definitely, and they saw that, and they saw my leadership, and they saw something they liked in me, and they chose me to be captain.
Now, are you the type of player that, you know, with your teammates, like, do you more lead by example, or do you lead with your play, or you like coaching guys on the court, or what does that look like for you?
Mostly lead by example, but I'm trying better to lead with my voice and help my teammates out, tell them what to do.
Is that true, Coach? Like you see just his leadership on the court?
Oh, yeah, it just stands out. We were talking about the little Pates earlier and what kind of things that the kids are doing. He leads the stretches for the entire camp. He leads the stretches for every practice for our team. So the example is set. Like he's saying, though, like most kids, it's kind of hard for them to use their voice and be vocal. That's not something that he naturally does, but he's trying to grow into that role. But the lead by example, he has that in ACES.
We're talking with Zelle Archie, head boys basketball coach at Hoover, Jeremiah Rodriguez. So, Jeremiah, you got started off 1-13, right? Mm-hmm. That must have been a difficult time. You guys played a low schedule. I looked at your schedule, Coach, and you didn't shy away from a lot of those big games. Start off 1-13. League comes around. You guys are now 8-2. Mm-hmm. Beat Madera South last night by about 15 points. So in your mind, when you're going through that rough time, cause it's no fun to lose games, right?
Definitely.
Now going to 8-2. What do you think where did the turnaround happen in that? Where did the confidence then come from?
The turnaround? Well, before the season, we looked at everybody and we thought, this is a good team. Like, we had a lot of talent. We thought we were going to play good together. But then once those first five games happened, we're like, oh, we got to get something together. But what really turned around was, I say, our attitudes and how serious we took our practices and our workouts. Because before, a lot of people were just playing around. We weren't taking it serious. And then once we started doing that, pieces started falling together, and we started playing better.
And, Coach, what can you, as a coach, attribute to? Obviously, 1-13 is not what you envisioned, but how are you able to stay the course with these kids?
Just knowing the work that they're willing to put in. And I talk with my coaches all the time. The losses definitely hurt, and they didn't feel well. But thinking about what we had to come into work to the next morning is motivation enough. You know these guys, none of them are bad kids. We don't have a bad apple in the bunch. So to be able to know that you can come in and help be part of this turnaround and help these kids, you know, make some different choices and decisions to kind of reap the fruits later, that's what we are seeing now. You know, it was definitely a tough go at it at the beginning, but, you know, these guys dug in. They had a couple players-only meetings where they were able to – a couple come-to-Jesus conversations. Like I said, he's one of them, started using his voice. And we knew that we had a young team coming in from as far as varsity experience. And so now, you know, I joke with our freshmen and let them know you're no longer freshmen. You know, you guys are pretty much sophomores. The season's almost over. You juniors, you guys are seniors now. And so it was just going from not having any experience to now you're 15 games in, you're 20 games in, and now you're able to close out some of those close games, and that's what we've been able to do.
Jeremiah, you can tell us as much as you want, but you are obviously in some of those meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, what was the general consensus with the guys? Like, hey, guys, man, we got to step up our game. The season's not over yet. What went on in those meetings?
Basically, we just told them we have to take it more serious. Every time we're in practice, we got to take advantage of those times. And we can't be playing around. We all got to be locked in for the season because it's a long season.
It is. So just an example here, right? So I know this probably seems like, hopefully it seems like 15 years ago. It didn't happen like early in the season. But just for reference, played Clovis North, Sanger, Bullard, Clovis East, Lemoore, San Joaquin Memorial. Oh, man, you're looking at this with me. Are you just like, man, TMI Episcopal we saw play Bullard again, Edison Central. That is a loaded front end of the season.
Well, when I first got here, you know, 4 years ago, none of those teams would even bother to play a Hoover. So they wouldn't even want to be on the court with Hoover. And so we wanted to make it to where every top team in the section would definitely be worth their while to be on the court. And so we've been able to accomplish some things over the last couple of years that have made a schedule like that possible and feasible. It's just the guys that, you know, made it possible are no longer here. They graduated, and, you know, six of them are playing on the next level. So you have the incoming class this year. You know, they're walking into a situation that was built, you know, before them. And so there was a lot of that. You know, even the teams we played against, they're not sure. They're thinking, well, maybe this is the same Hoover, you know, that we've saw the last couple years. And some of our younger guys coming in thinking that, hey, if we put on this Hoover jersey, the same thing's going to happen, what we saw, you know, the last couple years. But it's not the jersey. It's who's wearing the jersey. And so that's just been some of the growing pains that we've had to overcome. But looking at that schedule, we beam with pride the fact that all of those most of those teams reached out to us and, coach, can we get you guys on the schedule? So that's a testament to overall the program as a whole. But, you know, we want to make sure that it's not a one and done thing. We want to be able to be invited back to those same tournaments next year. We want that same level of respect. So, again, we're working our way through it now, finding ways to finish out these games and you know, getting these guys ready for the next year and the year beyond. We have a lot of returning players. We got 10 returning players from this year that'll be back next year. But we have some unfinished business to finish this season as well.
Well, you guys are 8-2 in league, coming off a win against Madera South. Jeremiah, you know, talk about, you know, the adversity that you guys faced, but what, you know, what are some of the lessons that you've learned this year so far? Your first year on varsity, you're voted team captain, which is great. But what are some of the lessons that you've learned this year that you think you could take for next year when you're a senior?
I've learned in the game to not get too happy about the score, because that score could change at any time. I've also learned we got to cherish the ball every time we have it. every possession matters. And yeah, that's about it. That I
no, that you said it all. Honestly, I mean that's a great response right there. That every possession matters, right? Like when you go from, hey, let's be honest, right? Varsity basketball is no joke, right? JV basketball is what it is. Can prepare you for varsity, so to speak, but it doesn't really prepare you until you're playing the Memorials, the Edisons, these teams that are like, man, this is next level stuff. I got to raise my game. So I think right there it's saying every possession matters. No matter if you're up 20 points, you still got to take care of the ball. Definitely. I mean, Coach played at a very high level. He was a guard, too. He knows how important it is to take care of that basketball every possession. So instilling that into you guys, I think that's going to propel you even further. So, Coach, you know, I love the gyms at Hoover. Right, I love walking in there, seeing the big gym and the old gym. Talked a little bit last year about that old gym. It looks a little bit different, right? The renovation. Do you guys practice in that gym? What does that look like? You guys do some shoot-arounds in that?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of different sports on campus that are sharing all the spaces. So between the boys program, the girls program, volleyball, boys and girls, badminton. We're one of the only schools that have badminton. We have to alternate. And so sometimes we're in the event center. And then sometimes we're in the old Cracker Jack box, man, yeah. The West Gym, and, you know, that's home. Yeah. But they are renovating it, and they got some cool things. You know, they're building some storage, so there's a different look. But, you know, the rims are still the same height. So.
And I know you're a proud alum of the school. You have some great memories of that school, played at Pepperdine. And, you know, I got to ask you, we'll get back to Jeremiah in a second, but I got to ask you, man, you're some dudes that you've played against in the past. You got some stories for me? You got some NBA guys that you went against and watched?
Absolutely. I mean, just being out there at Pepperdine and being in L.A. and Southern California area, even the open gyms in the off season are legendary. And some of the greatest players, you know, ever, you know, you go down there and play in the UCLA in the old men's gym down there at Poly Pavilion. The toughest guy I ever covered was Sam Cassell, matching up with him out there in the summer. You know, you'd have guys like Baron Davis. Every summer you're matching up with Baron Davis, Paul Pierce in the off season, Marbury, Derek Fisher, all the Lakers. So, you know, fun times. As far as playing in college, Jason Hart, Steve Nash was in our conference, so got to play against him three times. So these are future Hall of Famers. You know, you don't know that at the time. Yeah. But Chris Paul played against him his freshman year when he was in college. So
he's at Wake Forest, right?
Yep, he's at Wake Forest.
So Sam Cassell, you mentioned that first name. That's a little old school, man. But he had that baseline fadeaway. 50, you couldn't stop that thing, could you?
He's 6'4". He's slow as a turtle, but he picks his spots, knows where he wants to go. It will use your speed against him. smart as can be. Absolutely the toughest cover for me. Ever, hands down, and that's, I've guarded Chauncey Billups, like I said, Steve Nash, Chris Paul, Baron Davis, Marbury, Sam Cassell, couldn't do nothing with him, and I was a pretty good defensive player. I couldn't do a thing with him.
And he let you know it too, I bet.
You know what? He's
or not.
He didn't. Huh. I saw him in the league, and
yeah,
he used to talk.
He did.
I don't know if it was something there where, you know, he just respected, you know, the grit that I had. I'm not sure, but I made sure not to talk first, so I didn't say anything crazy. And he kind of just, you know, patted me on the butt, you know, way to go, youngster, that type of thing. But, no, he had came in there that day with – it was him, Chauncey Billups, and Katino Mobley.
Ooh, lefty.
All three of them came in, and so I wanted to guard Cassell. Out of it, because I really liked this game.
Yeah,
and I thought I was gonna be the one to kind of, you know, lock him down, and that absolutely did not happen. So I'm proud to say, yeah, to this day, that was absolute toughest cover.
Those are legends. We only got about another minute here, Jeremiah. I want to ask you really quick. You got some favorite NBA players? I know Coach is rattling off some superstars back in the day, but who do you like to watch?
I like to watch Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, Stephen Curry, Jordan Poole, Damian Lillard.
All right. Lillard dropped another 60-piece the other day, right? Tatum, he's a machine right now. He's on a mission. Those guys can score the basket, that's for sure.
Some tough scores you just named. Yeah, first game of the year we played a very good Clovis North team. They're ranked one of the top teams in the state, and that was J-Rod's coming out party. You know, that was his coming out party. He led us in scoring that game against Clovis North. First game in varsity ever, and, you know, he's been growing his game ever since.
Well, Jeremiah, thank you very much for coming in. Coach, obviously, thanks for coming in. Coach was just raving about your leadership, and, you know, you could probably take 1,000 Jeremiahs in your program, man. Those are the types of kids you could build around. So thank you guys for coming in. Really, really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right. That's it for today's show. 2 hours of fun high school talk. I really always appreciate people when they're able to come in and converse with us. So, obviously, thanks to Jeremiah Rodriguez, Cesar Archie from Hoover Basketball. Thanks to First String Sports, Jorge, Adrian Wiggins, Clovis East Men's Basketball Coach, Todd Brown, Coach at Emmanuel High School, and Gabe Camarillo. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.